Please join me in prayer. We are hungry, Lord, for understanding, for justice, for peace, for love. Nourish and sustain us again, O Lord, with your word and your presence. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and spirits to boldly follow. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, amen. The New Testament reading today is from Luke chapter 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, let the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In many ways, it was just another Sunday. The same light blue dress she rotated into her church wear every month or so. They had a sale at Payless, so she got new sandals. Her feet, and it turns out, her shoes were the things that she looked at most of her waking hours. Her pain today was not so bad. It was a numb, consistent pain. And she walked over to her medicine table, took her medicine, and then came back to get her hair done. As she pulled her hair back into a low ponytail at the base of her head, she remembered that Sarah, her friend, had said that there was going to be a visiting pastor at the church today. One guy is as good as the next, she thought, as long as he is brief. What was it to her? Sarah, who always knew the denominational gossip, said she heard that this guy was special. T remembered responding to Sarah with the joke she often used, "I'll believe it when I see it," knowing full well she would never see this preacher or the next or anyone. Not really. Besides, what use was it for her to get her hopes up? So what if he was special? That just meant everyone in the church would be vying for his attention. A long line after the service, hoping that this visiting preacher would have a word especially for them. So be it. She knew she wasn't special, and she didn't expect anyone else to think she was either. In 18 years, she had gotten used to the way she was. She would turn 35. Next month. She had been 17 when this all started, a senior in high school. Had it been that long? Her entire adult life not being able to do the simplest things, the things that you don't miss until you're not able to do them. Exchanging a smile with a stranger on the street, seeing her sister walk down the aisle on her wedding day, watching sunsets. She missed sunsets. going to the movies, giving and getting really good bear hugs, looking a person in the eye when you meet them, when you have to tell them something honest but hard, when you want to tell them that you love them. These were things she would never be able to do. But this was her life. She sighed, grabbed her bag, turned the radio off, and walked out the door to meet her ride for church, Sarah. On the way to church, she could see Sarah's left foot tapping on the floor to the Beatles song. She always played Beatles when she was going to the church. Where did she get this energy from? She wondered. How is she always so chipper and happy? T couldn't remember the last time she'd felt like that. Sarah wore red sandals. She had purchased them from Old Navy, maybe 5 seasons ago. The sole was coming apart from the rest of the shoe, but she could see that Sarah didn't really mind at all. She was happy, just tapping along and humming. As they pulled up to the church building, she took a deep breath in. It was still hard every week. She had stopped leaving the house a few years ago, except for church and the Walgreens down the street. But she wondered if there would come a day when she would just stop going to church. Sarah would move on and find another friend to care for. Sarah threw the car into park, and T's thoughts were brought back to the present moment. Sarah grabbed her arm and led her to the entrance. As soon as she walked in, she knew something was different. There was a buzz of conversation in the space, and though she couldn't see the faces, she saw so many shoes. Luckily, she and Sarah had arrived early, and they took their usual seats in the corner, out of the way, like T liked it. The first two hymns were normal, the confession of sin and assurance of pardon, then the passing of the peace. She had stopped getting up for that years ago. It created less embarrassment for the folks around her who tried to come up with an excuse of why they couldn't touch her that day. Then the scripture reading, the sermon, and then silence. This is awkward, she thought. Has this new guest preacher forgotten what he's going to say? Did he lose his space in his notes? All of a sudden, she felt a sharp elbow from her friend, Sarah. He's looking at you. What? He's looking at you. What? No, what do you mean? Before Sarah could answer, T heard his voice break through the silence. Come here. No way. How had he spotted her? How embarrassing. What was he about to do? Make an example out of her? Pray over her? She didn't need more humiliation in her life. But God only knows why. She felt herself get up from the seat, and she began to walk down the narrow side of the aisle. It felt like the longest walk ever. And for some reason, she began to cry. And tears streamed down her face. And though she couldn't see his face, she could still feel him watching her. And she knew that he saw her. Through a blur of tears, she saw his Chaco sandals. When she came near him, she felt like a child standing in front of him and the entire congregation. And he said, "You are free." And then something incredible happened. This young preacher bent down and he grabbed her face and he put it next to hers. And for the first time in 18 years, she was touched, really touched. And at that moment, she felt energy coursing through her body. It was indescribable. She felt a freedom and a power she had never felt, even when she was a child. She felt the confidence and the inspiration that only comes when you know, when you really know that you are loved. And she grabbed his hands and she shot up. She may have even jumped. She wasn't sure. She was standing straight up with no pain for the first time in her adult life. And without even thinking about it, she just started to sing. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When the senior pastor saw this, he was threatened. He was worried about what this would do to his ministry. He didn't want all sorts of kind of people coming to his church. And he stood up and called that guest preacher out in front of the whole congregation. Now, boy, you know you can show off in the church Monday through Saturday anytime you want. But you know that Sunday is the Sabbath, and we don't work on the Sabbath. Still holding T's hand, the guest preacher looked straight back at the pastor, senior pastor, right in his eye. You're the hypocrite. Didn't you just this morning put out food for your little dog? What's his name? Pepper? And took him for a walk and left out water for him before you left to come to the church building? Don't you think this woman, a daughter of Abraham, blessed to be a blessing to all nations, whom evil and a sin have oppressed for her whole adult life, don't you think that she deserves to be set free too? And on all days, on a Sunday, on the Sabbath? T didn't know what to do. She just kept singing, how great thou art. Never in her life had someone stood up for her like this. Never had someone named her. Never had someone given her a place of honor, blessed to be a blessing. Never had someone been her advocate. No one had ever fought for her liberation from her condition, but also from the isolation and the shame that it created. And in that instant, when he touched her, it had all been released. The senior pastor did not know what to say. He threw his hands up and walked out of the sanctuary. The music director got up on the piano and started playing along, joining T in her song. And when she looked out at the congregation, she could see them for the first time in 18 years. And they could see her. And they were smiling and singing along, and some of them had tears of joy streaming down their face, praising God. A daughter of Abraham, blessed to be a blessing, seen, touched, and set free by Jesus himself. To go unseen, or at least unwanted for 18 years, what must that have been like? I bet you can ask immigrants and refugees about that. Many black men in America could share their experiences with you. Folks in the LGBTQ plus community know what it's like to be unseen and unwanted even by those in their own church. The disabled, the working poor, the homeless, seniors, and children. And at some point in there, even if only for a minute or a second, you and me, we know what it's like to be unseen. And I expect that many of you, I am here because when I felt unseen and unwanted, someone stopped what they were doing when it was inconvenient and unpopular, and they saw me, and they called me, and they wrapped their arms around me with a force much greater than words, as if to whisper, I see you. I love you, beautiful daughter of Abraham. "You are a blessing. Now go and be a blessing." The gospel story today is about the least of these, those on the margins. It's about enacting Luke 4:18, you know, where Jesus is quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to recover sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free." And this story is about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, which Jesus expounds on in the rest of this chapter. But it's also about you and me, that no matter what marginalities the world tries to put on us, the Lord's gaze cuts through all of that, frees us and embraces us, reminding us of who we are. In seminary, I had a pastoral care professor. His name is Greg Ellison. And when you would come into his classroom, he would say, "It's good to see you." It's a little awkward. This is a young man, you know. And you would say, "It's good to see you too." "It is good to be seen." And the reason why Greg Ellison put so much stake in those simple words of greeting is because he had spent the last 8 to 9 years studying what it means to be unseen, what William James called cut dead. And cut dead is this term that means ignored deliberately or snubbed completely. Listen to what William James says cut dead feels like. "There is no more fiendish punishment that could be devised, were such a thing physically possible, than that one should be turned loose in society and remain absolutely unnoticed by all members thereof. If no one turned around when we entered, answered when we spoke, or minded what we did, but if every person we met cut us dead and acted as if we were non-existent things, a kind of rage and impotent despair would before long well up in us, from which the cruelest bodily torture would be a relief." Greg Ellison had applied that concept of being cut dead to young black men, in particular young black men who were coming out of prison. And he says, at some point, because they are unacknowledged, unseen, and cast aside, their hopes, their dreams, and even their very humanity begins to crumble and die. You see, sometimes he dealt with folks who were coming out of prison who were drug dealers, and there was this one particularly notable drug dealer that all the counselors and all the social workers were trying to work with and reason with, and finally this guy says, "You don't know me, you don't see me. You see, I sold drugs because my mother was a crackhead. And she would prostitute herself out of our house. And I have two little sisters. So I told drugs to keep men out of our house and to protect my sisters." And the room fell silent. And those social workers, for the first time, didn't just cast him off as a drug dealer or another statistic, but they saw him as a brother caring for his sisters. They saw him as a child of God. And Greg Ellison says that once you really see them as a child of God, as made in the image of God, you can't unsee. And so, like Jesus, Greg Ellison is challenging us to see. And I have some piece of paper somewhere that I was going to challenge you with, but I don't know where. Oh, there you saw it. So Greg has this 3-foot challenge. And this is about 3 foot. I mean, it's not exact. You don't want to remodel your kitchen with this ruler. It's called the 3-foot challenge because his grandmother said, "You may not be able to change everything, but you can change the 3 feet in front of you." And so I'm going to challenge you the same way he did me about 10 years ago. He said, "For a week, try the 3-foot challenge. Anyone you encounter 3 feet in front of you, make an effort to see them, to really see them," which means to hear a little bit of their story and to get to know them. "And in seeing them and knowing them, we both become transformed." 1 week, 3 feet. You think you can remember that? Yeah, you got it. The challenge for us is to go out and see as Jesus sees, free as Jesus frees, and to embrace as Jesus embraces. And through that seeing and freeing and embracing, we remind our neighbors that they are children of God, made in the image and likeness of God, that they are brothers and sisters of Abraham. And we don't just acknowledge their humanity, but we honor their divinity. You are blessed to be a blessing out in the world. So let's start with the 3 feet in front of us. Amen.